This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to be with you in this time of worship. Those of you who are joining us over live stream and those who are here in the sanctuary, welcome. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us for the very first time, and we're so glad that you're here. If you're joining us for the first time on live stream, we hope that you feel at home and that we all feel the Spirit of Christ uniting us in worship this morning. I would invite everyone to sign in and let us know that you're here. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can click to register your attendance. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you would sign those and pass those along. And if you're visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about who we are and how we're trying to live out God's love in the world, please share an email address or a mailing address with us, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. We have lots of opportunities for worship and growth and study this week. Today at 4:30, we will have a choral concert with both adult choirs and an orchestra, and that will also be over live stream, but we hope you can join us in that time of worship during the season of Lent. Again, that's at 4:30 this afternoon in the sanctuary. Then on Tuesday at 6 p.m. up in the Fourth Story Theater, we'll be showing the documentary By Design, which is a deep dive into our public school system here in Nashville and how we got to be where we are. And Methodists have always been dedicated to education, and so I would encourage you to come and participate in that documentary viewing at 6 on Tuesday. This Thursday at noon, as we've been doing every Thursday at noon through the season of Lent, we'll have a concert here in the sanctuary followed by lunch. And if you are able to join for lunch, we need your RSVP. Otherwise, you can come to the concert in person or also join us over live stream at noon on Thursday. And just want you to mark your calendars, especially those of you who have little ones. On Saturday, April 9th, we'll have our Easter egg hunt from 9:45 to 11:15 here on the grounds of the church. And that brings us to Holy Week. And so I invite you now to prepare for the worship services of Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday. Then on Easter Sunday, we'll gather for a sunrise service at 6:30 a.m., at 8:45 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. You don't have to come to all three of those. Just pick one or two if you want to. But those are the times of our Easter services. Feel free to invite folks that you work with or your neighbors to come and join us in celebrating the resurrection of Christ. As we continue to make our way there during the season of Lent, we're exploring the baptismal vows. And this morning, we're pondering the phrase in the third baptismal vow: will you serve the Lord Jesus Christ in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? So what does it mean for us to be in ministry in union with the entire church? Let us ponder that together as we worship together as one.
Thank you. Lord, you have called us by name and prayed for us. Lord, your prayer is that we would be one. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Holy God, three in one, you call us your very own. You pray that we would all be one. And yet, we put up walls that separate us from each other and from you. We divide ourselves by class, by race, by politics, by ability, by gender identity. We exclude people because they look, act, or think differently than we do. And when we do not love our neighbors, we are not loving you who created us all. This is not your will for us. Forgive us, God, for causing harm to our neighbors and ourselves. Help us to turn toward each other. May we build bridges instead of walls so that we can come together. May we draw the circle wide so that all can experience your amazing love. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, you may do that by sharing comments in the chat or by talking to people that are right with you worshiping this morning. And those of you that are in the sanctuary can share signs of peace and love in whatever way feels most comfortable to you. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Mark and Abby Stevens bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Mark and Abby, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith that we've been pondering and praying over these past few weeks especially. The first question is, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin, clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Peter Wright.
Peter Wright. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, your Creator, God the Son, your Savior, and God the Spirit, your Advocate and Comforter. Amen.
Amen.
And now, Peter, we're going to all lay hands on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Peter Wright, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. I thought you were going to say amen there for a second. Well, Peter, let's go over here with your parents so the whole church family that's here and worshiping on live stream can see you, because we are getting ready to make promises to you to help you learn to walk in the faith.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Peter Wright? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Peter Wright to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Peter Wright, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination.
God, through Christ, you give us the water of life. You make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 22 through 23. And after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They are yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any children who are here to come and join me for a moment up front. And if you're worshiping online, to get a little closer to your screens and share a special moment with me. Oh my goodness, look at all of these folks coming forward. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. I don't think there's going to be anybody left in the sanctuary after all of you get up here. This is wonderful. So glad to see you in church today. All right, come on up. Welcome, welcome. How many of you have a sibling, a brother or a sister?
I have a baby sister, and she's somewhere.
Yay, good. We've all got all these big brothers and sisters. That's so exciting. Yay. Well, let me tell you about my family, okay?
I have a little brother named Madison. He's three,
he's three.
He's smaller to me.
Good. Well, I have one brother and two sisters. They're all older than I am, so I'm the baby of the four. I'm so glad. Yay. Good. So, me, my brother, and my two sisters, and my parents were all a family when I was growing up. And you know what? I have cousins and aunts and uncles. Okay, I have cousins and aunts and uncles, so I have a bigger family than that. But you know what? I also have a church family. And so do you. Look at all these people out there. And there are people watching online and people maybe who couldn't be here today, but they're part of our church family. And because we're family, we love each other. And that's one thing about family. We're always supposed to love each other no matter what. But you know what? Our church family isn't just the people at West End United Methodist Church. It's people all over the world who follow Jesus. We're part of the Christian family. So no matter what, we're supposed to love each other. So remember that you have your own little family, maybe the people you live in the house with, but you also have a family that goes across the world of people who follow Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for family. We thank you for those who love us and surround us with your love, whoever they may be. We thank you for our church family, for West End United Methodist Church, a place where we can be known and loved. And we thank you for the church around the world, our Christian family, that helps us follow you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I hope I can hear about all your family sometime soon. If you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. Oh, good. Well, you can go with Pastor Maggie then. You're 3. Well, you can go there too.
I'm 6.
You're 6? Well, you got to go back and sit down with your parents or whoever you came with.
Pulpit today. Got to watch my gestures so I don't knock the microphone off. One of the most famous, if not the most famous, church in all the world is in Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It was built on the site where many Christians believed Jesus' body was laid in the tomb after he was crucified. So it was built on the site where many people believe Mary Magdalene and the other women discovered an empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. So it is a church where Christians from all over the globe for generations, for hundreds, thousands of years, have made pilgrimage to worship and to be in that holy place. So you could say in some ways the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is a sign of our Christian unity. What unites us in the belief in Christ's death and resurrection. Except for that latter. Some of you, I know, have been to Jerusalem, and you've seen the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And so you've seen that on this, I think it's the second floor of the church, underneath a window, there's a ladder that's been there for 300 years, at least, because nobody can agree on what to do with it. You see, the church, since 1757, I think, there was an Ottoman sultan who declared that there are 6 denominations that had responsibility for the care of that church. Most of the most ancient denominations, the Armenian church, the Coptic church, the Roman Catholic church, and so forth. And that nothing in the church could be altered or moved or changed unless all of those 6 groups agreed. And they just can't agree on that ladder. So some poor brick worker left it there accidentally, and it's been there for centuries. Pope Paul VI in 1964 said that that ladder was a symbol of Christian disunity. We know the story all too well. Since the beginning days of the church, we Christians have not been very good at sticking together, at unity. Whenever I have an opportunity to teach church history, whether it's to the confirmation class or a new member class or whatever it may be, I find myself telling the story of the different splits. How the East split from the West in the 11th century, and then the Protestant Reformation, and then the Anglican Church split from the Catholic Church, and then the Methodist Church grew out of the Anglican Church, and then all the denominations that came as the United States became a nation. Until our day today, when you can go down Franklin Road and count the churches and run out of fingers and toes. And we have all different kinds of styles and beliefs and theology and a long history of split and schism and division. Sometimes those divisions are based on deep theological differences and different ways that we interpret Scripture. Sometimes those differences and those splits happen because of matters of justice and fairness. In the early days of the Methodist movement, Richard Allen and other pastors who had been formerly enslaved were initially worshiping alongside one another with white and black and rich and poor and people of all classes until one day when a group of white pastors told these black pastors to get up off the kneeler and go sit in the balcony. And so they left to form their own church where they could kneel at the altar rails as they felt led. So sometimes splits happen because of things like that. And sometimes, of course, we all know churches divide over the color of the carpet or who likes which pastor. For reasons big and small, we have a hard time experiencing the unity of the church. And yet this morning, we all heard this third baptismal vow, a vow that we all make through the waters of baptism, that we would confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, put our whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as our Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to everybody. And yet this morning, we hear these words of Jesus in chapter 17 of John's Gospel, this prayer of Jesus that His followers would all be one. He prays it not once, not twice, but three times in the words that Brant read for us. I pray that they would all be one, that they would all be one, that they would all be completely one. So what do we do with that, with our baptismal vow, with Jesus' prayer, and then with the reality of the church as we know it in our world? Do we just feel terrible? Do we just look at the gap between what Jesus prayed for and what we see and despair and think that there is no hope? Because we are human beings, after all. We come from different cultures, different perspectives. We have different opinions. Surely there's no way we could all agree on everything. Well, maybe that's not exactly what Jesus was praying for. As I pored over this prayer this week, and I had all of these thoughts about the many ways that we Christians can be divided from one another, I actually found and heard hope in Jesus' words. I found hope in the idea that perhaps the union that Jesus is talking about is not a unanimity, not a perfect agreement on every opinion, not even agreement about styles of worship or interpretation of Scripture or any of those things. What Jesus seems to be talking about is a oneness in love. Did you hear the way John's Gospel conveys these words of Jesus? There's this circular motion that goes throughout the text that Jesus is praying to the one He calls Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, as you and I are one, and you are in me, and I am in you, and they, my followers, are in us. There's this union of love flowing between Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and us. We are invited into this communion of love. Is it possible that we can be one in love? John Wesley thought so. John Wesley said, if we cannot all think alike, may we not all love alike? John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, preached a sermon entitled The Catholic Spirit. Catholic meaning universal, not Roman Catholic, but the universal spirit, in which he said, we have lots of differences of opinions. I'm paraphrasing. You think this about baptism. You practice baptism this way, and I think this and practice it this way. You look at communion this way, and I look at it this way. We practice it differently. You have your opinions about certain social issues, and I have my opinions. You keep your opinions, and I'll keep mine. But if you love God, and you seek to love your neighbor, and build a world that looks like the kingdom of God, then give me your hand and let us do that work side by side. So perhaps Jesus is talking about a union in love, a mystical, sweet communion, as we sang about in our hymn. Could we dream? Could we believe that is possible? The other thing that gives me hope in these words of Jesus is recognizing that they are part of a prayer. You see, the Gospel of John is written in a very different way from the other three Gospels. It's 21 chapters long, and by chapter 13, we're at the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. We are in Jesus' final hours on earth. The 13th chapter, we'll be hearing a little bit next week. After the supper, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And then for the next few chapters, he teaches them. He gives them instructions. Love one another as I have loved you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then in chapter 17, he turns from his disciples and looks heavenward and begins to pray. So he's not talking to the disciples anymore. He's talking to his Father. And he prays to God that all of his followers in his day and all of those who are to come, that's us, would all be one. So what if it is God's work to make us one? What if it is not we who have to grit our teeth and try to get along with each other and figure all this out so we all are on the same page? What if it is the work of God to make us one? And what if it is already accomplished? What if we are already one with all who claim to follow Christ today and throughout the centuries of the past? The Apostle Paul thought so. He said, all who are baptized are one in Christ already. There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. We are all one. If you read the second chapter of Ephesians, he dives into it even more deeply. So if we are already one, perhaps our calling is simply to live into it. No matter how we disagree, no matter how strongly and deeply we disagree, to recognize every other follower of Christ as a member of our family and to treat them with love. That doesn't mean we will choose to worship in the same way, or we will gather in communities in the same way, or have the same beliefs or interpretations of Scripture, but cannot we all love one another and take each other's hands? Is it possible that God could take our brokenness and our divisions and our schisms and through the power of God's love redeem them to make us one? Which brings me back to that ladder. So it's been there for 300 years now on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And in 1997, there was a Protestant who took it upon himself, there's a video out there, to climb through the window and pull the ladder out and hide it behind an altar, just to get rid of the problem himself. And a few days later, that ladder was back outside. And when he took the ladder, as I was watching on the video, I found myself thinking, oh, that's our ladder. That's our story. It's a sign that all of these denominations are kind of respecting each other. Nobody wants to take it down without agreement from everybody. So maybe God has transformed this sign of Christian division into a sign of our unity. And maybe with the eyes of Christ, we can see glimpses of that mystic, sweet communion. Even in our day, even now. I invite you in these next few moments to join your prayers with Jesus that we might all be one and that we might have the eyes to see one another, to see all who follow Christ as our beloved family.
time, and annual conferences across the world, Are We Yet Alive? Is what we sing together. I invite you to stand at this time as we affirm our faith using a creed that's spoken around the world in several hundred languages, the Apostles' Creed, number 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, our Christian sympathy is offered to Sterling Davis Clark and David Clark and their family, who are mourning the death of Starling's mother, Starling Presnell Davis, who passed away on March 18th. Among her other survivors is West End member Starling Crabtree, a granddaughter. Services were held in Columbia, Tennessee on Friday, March 25th. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with us or with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can either follow the link under Contact Us or on our website. And if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our stronghold, our rock, our shelter in the storm, we come to you this morning in awe of what you've done for us and for the grace you've poured out. Thank you for the beauty of springtime in this ever-cycling world you've created. Birds sing of your glory. Eggs hatch and outreached beaks remind me of your constant care for us. You are the God of the universe, and yet you are mindful of us, allowing us to approach you with these petitions. In the midst of springtime beauty, there is great tragedy. We mourn those we've lost from 2 years of COVID-19. We grieve the tragic effects of war, both in Ukraine and around the world in places like Myanmar, Ethiopia, the Middle East. We pray for those seeking refuge from the fighting. We pray that they find safety and comfort both here in our country and in others. And on top of all the world's grief, we each carry with us our own sorrows. We ask that you show special care to those who are sick. Make your presence known at the bedside of the dying and comfort those who grieve. Be with those who are anxious or depressed. Provide companionship for the lonely. As we drive and see election signs, we ask that you provide for us leaders who will follow your will, leaders who share your thirst for justice that rolls down like waters. And may you guide those already in office toward the beauty of shalom, a vision of flourishing for all. And now, God, we pray that prayer your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you're able and feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on your screen or in the chat. And for those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes located in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you first to Mark Owen. Mark is a retired teacher who moved to Nashville to be closer to his grandson. He's transferring from Fisk Memorial United Methodist Church in Natick, which is outside of Boston, I'm heard, Natick, Massachusetts. And then Michelle Hartzell. Michelle is retired from Bank of America. She came here first to Nashville to work with the W.O. Smith School. She enjoys taking art classes and volunteering in the community, and she's transferring from a local Catholic church. So Michelle, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And now to both of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming these newest members? Family of God, Michelle and Mark are now entrusted to your love and your care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite those of you in the sanctuary to greet these folks through the doors to your right following our service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
that we would all be one so that the world might know God's love. We go forth from this place in that so that. We worship today so that we may share God's love with one another and with the world. Go and live your so that in peace. Amen.